Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to quote that last verse of the Old Testament reading this morning, Isaiah, the 31st verse of the 40th chapter. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The prophet Isaiah, no doubt, directing this admonition to those who had or those who have the need to hear words of encouragement. And I want to begin this morning by relating to you an event that took place probably about 10 or 12 years ago, but one that I still remember quite vividly. It took place at C.W. Post College, where I was serving as Protestant chaplain at the time. And it was required of me, more or less, to attend the meetings of the Student Affairs Division. Those meetings brought together individuals that were in charge of the various units involved in the non-academic part of a student's life. And over the years, I treasured the relationships that I had with these various members of the college community, and we sought to coordinate our various activities. Our meetings took place every other week, and though I treasured the people involved and all of us became friends, I did not always, in fact, I should say truthfully, in fact, rarely attended those meetings with a sense of joy. They were boring. They were boring due in no small part to the person conducting them, the dean of students. The title changed later to vice president for student affairs. Now, Warren was really a very, very nice man. I liked him a lot. In fact, he had at one time been a student for the Christian ministry attending Princeton Theological Seminary, although I didn't hold that against him, having been a graduate of Union. He was an elder in a Presbyterian church on the North Shore. He was a wonderful husband. He was a great father to his three children. However, he ran boring meetings. At meetings, he could talk at length about something, and at the end of the meeting, you were still not quite sure what the point was that he was trying to make. And members of the Student Affairs Division were known to be looking at their watches. And yes, Warren noticed this, but it had absolutely no effect on him. At least it did not cause him to move along more quickly, or better yet, just drop what he was saying. Outside of those meetings, we had a tendency to joke about all this. And members were quite happy when they had some kind of excuse that kept them away from that division meeting. And yes, Warren knew this quite well, but there was no change in the structure of meetings nor in shaping the agenda in such a way that we could deal with some matters of real substance. And nor did it have any effect on the length of the meetings, nor his ability to talk endlessly on some item in a most monotonous tone that without coffee present would have put us all to sleep. And as a result of all this, morale within the vision started to wane. And this did have an effect on Warren, leading to the event I now want to describe. Given the very low morale within the division, it would have been helpful for us to hear some words of encouragement and hope. Well, maybe that is what Warren thought he was doing when, at a meeting, he began by reading this passage from Isaiah, which we read this morning, which Sean read for us this morning. Now, as you know, CW Post is a secular college with no religious ties. It was really a bit unsettling for him to call the group together with a reading from the scriptures, ending with the phrase, "They shall mount up with wings like eagles." And then Warren got up from his chair and from a bookshelf took down a bronze eagle with its wings spread, and he placed it in the middle of the table around which we were sitting. And at subsequent meetings, that eagle would be present there at the center of the table to be joked about by members of the division. But it did have this effect. Our laughter, maybe wrongly directed at Warren, did bring us together and did raise our morale. Perhaps did bring the words of encouragement and hope that we needed. But more than that, whenever I now read or hear read that passage of Scripture, I cannot help but picture once again Warren's bronze spread eagle. Perhaps Warren was a bit too dramatic, which was so out of character for him. But I think all of us periodically need to see that eagle, particularly when we are at those times in our lives and in those situations where there is the need to hear words of encouragement, words of hope. I sometimes wish I could borrow Warren's bronze eagle with its spread wings and have it placed in the middle of the table at the meetings of our session. Or maybe it should be placed in the front vestibule so that everyone entering into worship and everyone hearing that scripture passage mentioned, those who are weary or powerless or exhausted. That mood does surface once in a while, doesn't it? If we saw that, might we see the call to become as eagles? What leads to that kind of weariness, to this exhaustion, to this sense of powerlessness? Well, I find that our New Testament lesson from 1 Corinthians is very helpful at this point. When Paul was writing, there were signs of dissension in that church at Corinth, and Paul's letter to them really attempted to address that problem. The dissension did not divide believer from unbeliever. The dissension was among believers themselves. They all had the good of the church as their purpose. They all wanted to follow Christ's ways. They all sought God's will for their faith community. But they all had strong opinions of what that will was, even as they had strong opinions about what God was calling them to be and to do. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to them, tells them that he had sought to be the compromiser. Let me quote him. "To the weak, I became weak. To those who sought to be strict observers of the law, I attempted to be a strong advocate of law. After all, that was my background. And to those who emphasized the freedom they felt in following Jesus, not subject to any strict interpretation and practice of the law, I came across as one free from the law. Paul said something that I think every pastor identifies with. Paul says, I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. You see, a pastor learns early in his ministry that he can't really please everybody, but boy, does he try. And that's exhausting. The session, as it looks, is the future of a congregation, a task that really is ours at the beginning of every calendar year, and realizing that decisions need to be made as this congregation goes on in its life. The session will realize that sometimes with the decisions that are made, we're not going to please everybody, but boy, will we try. This congregation, they realize they cannot afford to lose any of you. And so they will try to please everyone. That's when they need to see that eagle and affirm that this congregation can and will not only fly, but soar. And our gospel lesson provides us with yet another very concrete example of what makes that possible. Even as Paul was dealing with congregations placing very heavy demands on him, so in our gospel lesson for this day, heavy demands are placed on Jesus. The writer of the gospel says, everybody is searching for you. And Jesus would probably have commented, yeah, for all the wrong reasons. Are they looking for miracles? Or are they interested in the message I am bringing? When the devil tempted me there in the wilderness as I was ready to launch this ministry, the temptation had to do with showing power and practicing magic and trying to dazzle people. But I am here to deliver a message. Repent, turn around, get back to the basics, show justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. I think at times Jesus had the need for some words of encouragement and hope. And he did what he always did at those times. He withdrew from the crowd. He withdrew from his work. And he prayed. Verse 35 from that gospel reading. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And the story ends with saying that Jesus went then throughout Galilee proclaiming the message. Well, here is my word to every member of our session. Here is my word to every member of this congregation. When you need those words of encouragement and hope, take time to withdraw from it all. Find that deserted place, any place away from the hubbub and conflicting pressures, away from all the voices that says, we should do this, or we should do that. Withdraw. Go on your personal retreat someplace, or maybe even a group retreat, and pray. And then the next thing is very important. Wait. wait for those words of encouragement and hope. Then you will be restored to do and have this church do its only mission. Its only mission. To proclaim the message in words and in deeds. In a new day. In a new way. And in doing so, you'll be surprised that weariness will be turned into energy. And exhaustion may well be turned into a new breath of life. Yes, those who wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us bow together in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, remold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen.